This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We begin today with a controversial policy change from the Baker administration. Starting today, Massachusetts State Police will be allowed to detain undocumented immigrants for federal immigration authorities if that person has been convicted of a crime. It's a reversal of a policy from former Governor Deval Patrick, which said that police could not ask about immigration status unless it was tied to a criminal investigation. Governor Baker issued a statement saying that this change gives, quote, our statewide policing agency the tools necessary to detain criminals. But opponents say the move could undermine local police community relations and could result in people being detained even if they have no criminal conviction. Well, joining us to talk about this is Bristol County Sheriff Thomas Hodgson. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Also, Laura Rodolo, an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Welcome.
Thank you, Deborah.
And we want to ask our listeners as well, what do you think of this change in policy? Is Governor Baker correct in reversing the Patrick administration policy and allowing police to detain undocumented immigrants at the request of federal officials? Do you think that this will improve public safety, or could it result in people being detained even if they are not criminally charged? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Sheriff Hodgson, I'd like to start with you. How is this change is rather complicated. So briefly, how do you explain how this policy is now different from what it was before?
Well, before, they were not allowing the state police, when the federal authorities wanted somebody held, the governor was ordering them not to abide by the request of the federal government, which makes absolutely no sense.
Laura, what do you say to that?
It does make sense. In fact, 350 communities plus around the country and seven cities in Massachusetts do just that. They've limited their voluntary collaboration with immigration enforcement because they have found that as soon as you blur that line between local policing and immigration enforcement, people stop coming forward, they stop trusting their police and reporting crime, and that's just bad for everyone.
Well, that's absolutely not true. The notion, and this is the big red herring that's always thrown out there, that somehow the illegals won't come forward and report crimes. Look, the reality is human nature is such that if I were an American citizen to rob the bank and 3 weeks later somebody broke into my house, you can bet I'm not going to the police to tell them that somebody broke in my house for fear that I might get caught. These people, look, the idea, this is a red herring to try to allow illegals to stay in communities. But here's the problem. Anybody that was down at Ground Zero, and I had to stand there for 5 weeks with my staff, the one thing that everybody walked away that was on that rescue effort from Ground Zero
in New York,
the fundamental lesson that we learned was that we didn't need less cooperation with law enforcement. In other words, isolating, you know, ICE has somebody they believe is wanted, so we're not going to cooperate. What we learned was we needed to do more intelligence sharing so that we don't have these individuals in our neighborhoods weaving themselves into the fabric of our society who, frankly, don't belong there because they violated the law to get there to begin with.
Sheriff, I just want to bring something up real quick. I understand what your point is, but this has been an issue before. A lot of folks have heard some of this before. In 2014, Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone signed an executive order ending his city's participation in what was then the Secure Communities Program, which is somewhat similar to this. And the part in question that Curtatone was concerned about was a provision that allowed police to hold arrested immigrants for up to 48 hours based only on immigration violations. Let's listen to what Joe Curtatone said at a press conference in May of 2014.
What it does, it engenders fear in the immigrant community. It pushes people into the background and into the shadows. It discourages witnesses and even victims from cooperating with police.
So that's Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone 2 years ago saying that this actually could have an adverse effect on public safety. I'm wondering what you say about that, Sheriff.
Well, first of all, I think everybody knows that mayor is also declared a sanctuary city. And frankly, he's in direct violation of federal law. And so when you have an elected official who is suggesting that we need to harbor people in violation of Title 8 of the U.S. Code, you have somebody that took an oath to uphold the Constitution and uphold our laws who is now directly violating those laws to protect a certain class of people. And that's the reality of all this. And the idea that somehow it's a good thing to allow these people to go off into the sunset only puts the American citizens and legal residents at more risk that these individuals, not all, but a number of them, will commit more crimes against innocent people who otherwise never would have been victims if we had just obeyed our laws and enforced our laws.
Now, Laura Rotolo, I'd like you to respond to some of the concerns that we've heard from the sheriff and why this policy is changing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not a judge, but I can say that no judge, no court of law has found that Mayor Curtatone or any of the 350 cities and towns around the country or the seven cities in Massachusetts that have done something similar have been in violation of any federal law or harboring any person committing a crime. That simply has not happened because they are within their legal rights to do what they're doing, which is to just limit their voluntary collaboration with immigration. And I think just to tone down the rhetoric a little bit, this isn't really about terrorism. We don't know of a single case of a terrorist being deported under any of these programs. Immigration, federal immigration enforcement needs to remain the ambit of the federal government. And when it doesn't, we see the problems that happen in public safety.
So your main concern about this is that you feel that this is a federal, not a state police responsibility, Laura, is that right?
That's correct. And you don't have to take my word for it. You could take the word of the Boston City Council, for example, which a year ago also passed what's called the Boston Trust Act, which does the opposite of what the governor has just signed. It limits voluntary collaboration in order to gain the trust of immigrant communities. And I think the sheriff is in a different position from police who are patrolling the streets. Just by nature of the way sheriffs work in Massachusetts, they run the Houses of Correction. I think, you know, Sheriff Hodgson himself will tell you how much money he gets every year for holding immigration detainees. He's in a very different position. He's not out there having to get the trust of the community, which is what police are doing every day, and which is why they're passing things like the Trust Act around the state and around the country.
Well, if you follow that, your line of reasoning, I think you would find that it's really not reasonable, because the truth of the matter is, no, you're saying no judge said anything about the mayor violating federal law. No judge has said that in Colorado they're in violation of federal law either for legalizing marijuana. So that's not the question. The laws are on the books and they're there. And the only way that they should be changed, should be treated differently and enforced differently, is if they're changed by legislation. Now, the other thing you said was that this whole issue about federal agencies should work with federal agencies. Then so DEA should not work with local law enforcement in getting these cartels and drug dealers out of our neighborhoods.
I'm just
that would
wondering.
Be the same logic.
I'm wondering though, Sheriff. Do you think? I think that much of the original argument as well was that it may be too broad. There may have been too much power on the part of law enforcement in general to be able to round people up, if you will, for lack of a better term. I think the statistics showed that ICE had placed more than 5,000 detainers on Massachusetts residents between 2008 and 2011, in a three-year period, we're talking 5,000 people, and 75% of those people had no criminal record and were sent to jail. So there were concerns about the authority here and what was happening. How do you tell people and assure people that there would not be an overreach on the part of authorities here if this policy is allowed?
Well, first of all, the ICE has made it very clear who they will and who they will not put into the process for deportation. The secure communities, Janet Napolitano in a speech at American University said, and this is when Deval Patrick was trying to fight secure communities, she came out in the Boston Herald and I think the Globe and said that the secure communities program was absolutely the best program for targeting criminal illegal aliens. And anyone who attempts to try to prevent secure communities from happening because they believe it's going to stop capturing everybody in the net, that is people who maybe aren't criminal illegal aliens, are actually promoting that very thing that they're trying to prevent by not supporting secure communities. So look, this whole thing about who we target and so forth, I think that probably the same people who are against ICE and law enforcement working together would probably have argued for people like Muhammad Atta and these other people who simply, and by simply saying, hey, listen, leave them alone. They're just down at a flight school trying to learn how to be pilots. Mm. These are the same people. Yeah, they haven't committed a crime yet, but you know what? They're down at a flight school in Florida, and they drove planes into the World Trade Center, killing 3,000 people.
Yeah, but so we didn't catch them. And
we didn't catch them.
But and we had secure communities or something similar at that point. So I want specific examples of why law enforcement needs this to do its job. I mean, there are lawmakers holding a press conference at this hour, at this moment, and they're saying that Governor Baker is only doing this as a political move. They say that he probably feels that he may have angered conservatives because of his support for transgender legislation. So this is something to get conservatives on his side. And it's really not all that necessary. I mean, why is it necessary? Why do you need? Has there been a specific case where you can say that public safety has been improved because police had this authority?
Oh, sure. I mean, I can tell you exactly where it wasn't. Most recently, with Catherine Steinle, that's a perfect example of exactly why we don't want people released that ICE wants held. That's the most recent case, and how tragic was that? That the girl died in her father's arms while they were out to lunch, and the father asking her father, can you help me? And the last thing her father, last act he has is basically telling his daughter, I can't do anything for you while you're dying in my arms. So these are real cases that are happening all over the country. I don't know if you all are aware of this, but 95% of the warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegals, outstanding warrants. 75% of LA's most wanted are illegals, 75%. So We know that we need to be able, when ICE calls us and says, hey, we want you to hold that person, they're not going to just hold them because of their immigration status. They have their own criteria now that basically they have to meet certain levels, and that's what the PEP program does. These supervisors, if an ICE agent now brings somebody forward to be deported or put into deportation hearings, they have to go to a supervisor now and ask the supervisor whether or not it's okay to put these people into the proceedings. And these aren't people that are just here on overstays or administrative violations. And I would tell you, a couple of the agents that work with us here, they told me that they know of 10 outstanding felony warrants right now in their files in Rhode Island, and they're told by their higher-ups that these are guys who were criminal, illegal aliens, deported, have come back in, which is a felony, and they have warrants for their arrest. They know where these guys are in the general vicinity where they are, and they're told by their authorities that they cannot go get them until such time as they commit another crime. Well, we don't need any more Catherine Steinle's at the hands of people like this. We need laws where ICE can work.
Well, if it's already a crime for them to have returned after they were deported, why can't ICE go and get them on immigration violations?
Well, because this is the new standard. This is the new standard that, well, you know, with the PEP program, they have to meet certain, they should be able to, and the ICE agents want to do it, but they're being told by this. There's a lot of things that the public are not aware of that's happened with this administration in regards to protecting these illegals.
Well, we're going to let Laura respond in a second, and also we want to get some listeners in on the conversation here because we're rapidly running out of time, and our phone lines are lighting up. We want to remind listeners that if you'd like to comment or if you have a question for either of our guests, you can call us at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Julie is calling from Quincy. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi. So my comment is simply this. Look, I'm an attorney in Massachusetts, and there are so many different ways that we already create a disenfranchised population out of the immigrant body to the point where they're not willing to report things that they otherwise would report because we make it impossible to actually do anything without putting your name down or your social. And I feel as though Charlie Baker has taken on this ancillary objective, which is absolutely going to undo everything that Deval has worked so hard really to instill in that population to make them feel like they belong in our community. And the guy should be worried about the trial court budget. He should be less concerned about undoing things that work and more concerned about the things that don't work and working on how he can fix those things.
All right, Julie, thanks very much for your call. I also want to hear from Mo, who's calling from Lowell. Mo, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Mo. I'm calling from Lowell. I work for the Department of VA. And my example is sometimes we are afraid, we don't want to talk to the police. But now with this type of law, we won't want even the police to go close to us, to our friends, to our houses. Some of us are U.S. citizens. So with this type of law, we don't want our friends, family members, or anybody that is illegal to be arrested. So even if there is a crime, we will not call the police because we're afraid that when we call the police, we're going to go draw the book. Roped from the bush. Hmm. Somebody will be arrested. Somebody will be deported.
Okay. Mo, thanks very much for your call. Sheriff Hodgson, how do you deal with that? How do you make sure that you are not creating fear among the immigrant community where they will maybe not help law enforcement solve crimes and be so fearful about being deported that this could actually backfire?
Well, look, we have people, American citizens, who for years have not come forward to be witnesses because of our criminal justice system. Look, we can't start marginalizing our laws and creating certain classes of people that don't follow the law and saying, look, because they won't report crimes or they won't do something else that we want them to do because they know they're here illegally and they could get in trouble for it and face a consequence, is not a reason to say, well, therefore we shouldn't have the law and it shouldn't apply. The reality is, let's start with the baseline. These people don't belong here. They came here illegally. They violated our laws. We have other people. We have 5 million people around the world right now waiting behind their borders, respecting the laws of the United States, waiting to pay the money, waiting to do it the right way through the application process. My father was an immigrant from England and raised 13 children here. And I would never hope my father would never come here illegally, sneak in, and that would be the first thing that he did as an act as my father to bring children into the world. The reality is we have rules and laws to protect our democracy. And the idea of watering them down because some people are afraid of consequences because they violated laws, that's why you have consequences.
Okay, I want to give Laura a chance to respond. Laura, what do you say to that?
So, again, to tone down some of the rhetoric, I want to make sure that everyone who's listening today understands that this order is limited only to the state police. It doesn't affect any local police department. So if your city or town tells you, you know, that they're not going to be enforcing immigration laws, you can still believe that because this only affects state troopers, essentially. It's very limited. But it does send a very important message, and I think this issue of backfiring is important. The issue that we're talking about here is called an ICE detainer. It's a request from the federal government to hold somebody on their behalf for immigration charges. And we've seen that these detainers have been the subject of litigation around the country, and they're not just used against criminals, as the government might have you believe. The statistics themselves say that more than half of the people who are subject to these detainers have never committed a crime, have never been convicted of a crime, have no priors. And in fact, they're subject to mistakes. So a woman named Ada Morales in Rhode Island, who is a U.S. citizen, naturalized citizen, was detained not just once, but twice on an immigration detainer. And the second time she was detained, the immigration officer told her, we can't promise you it's not going to happen again. Our systems may just not catch up with your status. So we have U.S. citizens around the country being deprived of their liberty under these detainers. We have people who have a real avenue to staying in the country who may have crossed illegally but may be eligible to get asylum being detained under these detainers, and communities suffering, not just because these detainers lead to deportation, but again, because they lead to more distrust in local police.
But what about the sheriff's contention that then we're allowing folks who are doing illegal things or criminal activity to continue to do them, and we're essentially protecting them?
So these policies don't protect anyone who is committing a crime. It does not affect the ICE's power. The federal government still can deport the people that it can deport. All this says is that local police shouldn't be collaborating with that, shouldn't be using their own resources, shouldn't be putting their own officers on the line, shouldn't be opening themselves up to liability when something goes wrong. But this is the role of the federal government, and they do it well. We've seen under the Obama administration record numbers of deportation, more than any other president in U.S. history. So deportations are still happening, and we, you know,
well, that's not true. That's actually not true.
Priority.
That's actually not true. What the Obama administration did was the way they fudged the numbers by saying that when somebody's caught at the border, they used to be called under the Bush administration a turnaway. They were turned right around and sent back in. what the Obama administration did was they counted every one of those as deportations. So they just changed the numbers around to make it appear that they are deporting more. Let me tell you.
I'm sorry, but I can't agree with that statement. That's actually not true.
Well, it is true. And I've been down on the border. I've been down on the border on three different occasions. I can tell you the surge right now is as bad as it's ever been. We're bringing children into this country, exposing them. They're being raped along the way. The mothers are getting...
I really want to make sure we get some listeners into this conversation, which was the intent. Jamie is calling from Malden. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I am practicing immigration lawyer in Malden. I wanted to piggyback on Laura's excellent remarks that this is not a situation where criminals are being convicted in our state courts, serving their time, and then we're ignoring the detainers. This is now about the state police finding the power they used to have for pulling over a car for going 56 and 55, realizing there's adverse immigration history, and then being able to take a person to custody for immigration's behalf, on ICE's behalf. So the question is, do we really want the police to have that kind of power over our neighbors in our society?
But is the police officer that's pulling them over, the when you say...
Let's let Jamie finish.
Oh, I thought he was done. I'm sorry.
Sure. We can ask our neighbors in Massachusetts and immigrant communities. They remember 2012, 2013 of their friends and neighbors getting sucked into the immigration catch basin by minor traffic violations. That was the target of Governor Deval Patrick's change, and now we're moving away from that very positive change.
Okay, Jamie, we are just about running out of time. Sheriff, I'd like you to respond.
Well,
we're almost out of time.
Sure. First of all, we do want to have state police to have that authority, because if they pull somebody over and they do have a immigration history of having committed a crime, they should be picked up and they should be held for if immigration customs enforcement wants some help. We're here to protect the citizens of our country. And if we have people who are here illegally who put themselves in these situations, we ought not to jeopardize the safety of the community simply because people want to come here illegally and be excused and treated as a different class of people. Hmm.
Laura, I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to respond.
Thank you. Well, this is a very unfortunate move, and I think it's a step backwards, not just for immigrants, but for public safety. But I would urge people to understand that it is just limited to the state police, and that cities and towns who are considering different avenues of dealing with immigration and immigrants in their towns realize that this does not bind them.
All right. I'm sorry we have to end the conversation. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Laura Rotolo is an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Bristol County Sheriff Thomas Hodgson was with us as well. And thanks to all the listeners, and sorry for those who are still waiting on the phone, but we are out of time. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, maybe a baby aspirin a day isn't so good for you after all. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.